Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 13th of August, 2020. My name's Nick Hurley. Touching on some more of the causes driving this shift from the momentum trade in the US more towards this sort of value, the big reversal we're seeing with the tech name suffering and the small cap rallying with the US dollar going up, yields going up, and the gold price coming down. Gold has reversed a little bit today, but what we didn't touch on yesterday was that there's been a record issuance of treasury bonds into the US market. So there's been this enormous sort of demand for capital. So this week, the treasury has planned to sell a record $112 billion US dollars of 3, 10, and 30 year debt. So auction sizes for 10 year bonds will increase by $6 billion. This quarter from the previous quarter, and the 20 and 30 years will rise by 10 and 4 billion this quarter. So the planned uptick in auction sizes for 2, 3, and 5 years, as well as other instruments, amount to an additional 132 billion of issuance over this quarter compared to the last quarter. So it's putting a huge demand on investors, which could be yet another factor driving up yields, which is sort of giving this signal to the market that there's a real inflation concern, when it's actually just a sort of technicalities of the markets, simple sort of short-term supply and demand. So borrowing estimates put forward by the Treasury of an additional $2.2 trillion by the end of the year, and it could swell further yet if further fiscal stimulus packages are beyond the ones already announced come into fruition, which is looking quite likely once Donald Trump's sort of unilateral one runs out in about a month. Now, yesterday morning we had the Westpac monthly consumer sentiment survey for August, they call it. Surprise, surprise, it's plunged 10% to 79.5 points, which is an extension of the decline from last month and basically a full reversal of the rebound and optimism that had been building since sort of the restrictions had started lifting. What's most interesting is the impact you would, at a guess, would assume it would be Victoria, due to the soaring death rates here from coronavirus, but it's actually not. New South Wales, the sentiment collapsed by 16%, which is almost double the fall that we had here in Victoria. So New South Wales is reading as 77.8, which is actually lower than Victoria's 78 points, which is quite amazing considering, you know, the streets here are deserted when you can still go to restaurants in Sydney. Even in Queensland, where, you know, you essentially got virus elimination, consumer confidence deteriorated by 8% to 79.7. So not far above. So it's really good to sort of take this into consideration, that the direct sort of impacts aren't just the only thing to consider here. And if consumer confidence is sort of hit heavily across the nation, then that will have huge impacts on national companies. A quick update on Chemist Warehouse, Australia's largest pharmacy chain. It was planning to have its potential initial public offering in Q4 of this year, and now they've just announced that that's been pushed back to next year. They had hired Rothschild to prepare to the business for listing, and they still expect, you know, it should attract about $5 billion as a sale price. Wesfarmers from Perth has sort of previously expressed interest, and certainly the market expects that would be a nice fit for the Wesfarmers business now they've largely divested of Coles Group. All right, an update now on the Virgin Australia Airlines saga. So as you know, we've got the administrator, Deloitte, has appointed or sort of agreed to have Bain Capital take over the business. They sort of signed that agreement, and the business was in need of so much capital that, you know, it was literally going to run out of cash. So Bain, if they were approved, they would inject $125 million to allow the business to keep functioning, which it has. But that hasn't stopped some of the bondholders of the business trying to band together and put forward an alternative proposal. So this is led by Broadpeak and Tor of Hong Kong and Singapore. Now, why? They fear that they would only get about 10 cents in the dollar under the sort of the existing Bain purchase of the airline. They want to put forward an alternative offer in which the bondholders who band with them will receive up to 67 cents in the dollar, so you know, almost seven times more. Unsurprisingly, a number of the other creditors have sort of jumped on board. So we've had UBS, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Yara Capital all join with them. And in the total, there's about 60 bondholding financial institutions that are owed about $800 million that support this alternative proposal. In addition, they've also got some of the plane leasing companies, of which you know Virgin owes money to, on board as well. These lease 15 of the 737-800s to Virgin. Now, the Bain has pushed back, in addition to Deloitte previously. On Tuesday, Bain called the proposal incomplete, not credible, and indicative. The two Asian-based hedge funds are trying to frustrate the administration process by creating as much noise and interference as possible. So under this sort of their alternative proposal, unsecured creditors will swap their debt for shares in the airline, and the two funds would underwrite an $800 million capital raising to be offered on a pro rata basis to all creditors. Virgin would then be relisted on the ASX. And they would even repay Bain the existing $125 million of cash that they've already poured into the business. Now, what's interesting is how does the Broadpeak and Tor assume that they can, you know, get this 67 cent return? And the AFR is reporting that it comes largely down to their very rough valuations. So they think that the airline can record a $1 billion Australian dollar EBITDA in the 2022 financial year. So that's higher than any of the other sort of previous 10 years. And at a time when Tiger's shut down, the international operations are shut down, not that necessarily is a negative, but you know, there's so much uncertainty and you know a lot of going on in the airline industry. Now, on that, they've sort of looked at peer sort of enterprise value multiples. Outside airlines, you know, you'd typically look at a 10 times sort of EBITDA multiple to value a company. Airlines, it's a basket case. So Qantas is currently trading about 3.5 times. So lo and behold, they've come in and said, okay, well, we estimate $1 billion earnings and we're going to apply a 3.5 to 4 multiple. So that values the business at 3.5 to 4 billion enterprise value dollars. Now, that is intriguing, considering it's using the same multiples as Qantas, which is much stronger business, much more diversified, bigger frequent flyer program, bigger international operations. You know, been around a lot longer, better credit rating, got a lot more going for it. So it does seem a little bit pie in the sky and a little bit wishful that these hedge funds are pushing for this. Okay, moving to the markets now, we have quite a bit of a risk on this morning. We've got NASDAQ up 1.7%, S&P 1.3%. So a bit of a reversal of what we've seen the last few days. Gold is up a little bit. It's at $1,948. The Australian dollar has weakened a little bit. Sorry, strengthened a little bit. It's 71.7 US cents. We have a lot of corporate reporting coming up today. In Australia, we've got AGL, AMP, Telstra, Treasury Wine Estates, and Woodside all reporting. So lots to look out there. Have a great day and see you tomorrow.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.